Hey, welcome back.
Yes, indeed. So you just got done talking like crazy.
Well, hold on 1 second, real quick. Let's introduce ourselves.
Oh, yes.
John Galloway.
I am John Galloway.
Christopher Harrison, introducing ASP.NET and MVC.
Yes.
Go.
You just talked for an entire hour about customizing controllers.
Feels like it.
You deserve a break, but you don't get one.
Dang it.
Now it's all about views.
All right. Well, then let's view some views.
Yes,
as it were. See. Yeah, I know. And if you take a look at my slide here, I'm just going to continue with the pun fest.
Changing
the outlook on views. Mm. Yeah. Thank you. All right. In any event, what we want to do is we want to start off by talking about how views are found. That, again, you know, a lot of this has still been kind of magic. That, hey, look, we've got some scaffolding. Hey, look, it generated some files. Hey, look, I type this in and I get something to display. Well, exactly how is that all coming together? What's the code that's making all of that display and how is that being found? So we're going to start off by talking about how our views are found. Then we're going to take a look at our view models. And we're going to take a look with the view models at, I'm sorry, I'm going to do that all over again, but I'm going to do it live, so I guess I'm not really stopping. I'm just going to keep talking. But in any event, views and models, what we want to talk about is that model and how our view is going to work with it, how our view is going to interact with that and know the type of model that it's going to be acting upon. We'll then see what all those little at signs mean with our Razor syntax. We're going to take a look at the HTML helper and how the HTML helper will, well, cleverly enough, help you write HTML. Yep. And then we'll close it all off taking a look at layouts. But let's start off by talking about how our views are found. And once again, to quote my compatriot, John Galloway, it just works. That's it. Yep. That remember that with MVC, MVC is all about convention rather than compilation. There's a few rules that you have to follow, and as long as you follow those rules, it just works. So, for example, our views need to appear inside of a folder called, wait for it, views. No, really, that's it. Now, inside of that views folder, what you're going to notice is a couple of subfolders. You'll notice one subfolder typically for each controller that you have, named after the controller, and then you'll also notice one for shared. And the basic steps that MVC is going to walk through to go find a particular view are as follows. So if you take a look at my slide, you'll notice that I've got a basic little controller here, album controller. And then what you're going to notice is that I have a very simple little action here called index that's just going to return back a view. Now, again, it's all about convention. So the two words that are most important up here are album, because that's the name of our controller, and index, because that's the name of our action. And what MVC will automatically do is it will automatically look for a folder called album, and it will automatically look for a view called index. Whoops, well, index, and this is really going to be our view. There we go. Sort of looks like a three-year-old has grabbed a crayon here, but it works. In any event, so that's what's going to happen behind the scenes. So step one is it's going to look for a view named index inside of a folder named album. If it doesn't find that, then it's going to look for a view named index in a folder named shared, and then if it doesn't find that, it's just going to error. Now, let's say, for example, that one of the things that we wanted to do is share views. And a perfect example of this is edit versus create. Generally speaking, the difference between edit and create as far as the form goes is create is blank, and edit will automatically be pre-populated with the data from the item that you are now looking to edit. So it's really the same form. So what we could do is we can specify, hey, that's the name of the form that I want to use. Well, the workflow basically still stays the same. Is that once again, it's going to look inside that folder called album, but this time is it's going to look for something called default because that was what I told it. I want the name to be default. And then if it doesn't find that, then it will look inside of shared. And then once again, it's going to error. And one of the things that I really love about this, if we take a look at a demo here, is that if I go in and I create an action that hasn't been set up with a view, you'll notice that the error will actually kind of walk you through that whole process. So let's see, album, that works just fine. Let's go in and, hey, I've got that little display by artist. Let me just get rid of that little parameter there. Perfect. So we'll just say display by artist. All right. So now let me just control F5, trigger. Let it do its thing. And let's go to albums. And let's go to display by artist. There we go. And there you have it. It tells you exactly what it is that it tried to do here. Is you'll notice right here that it looked in album, and then it looked in shared. Now, you'll notice that there's kind of a couple of funny things here. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that it's still looking for ASPX, ASCX, and that's a legacy thing that's holding back to the days of, or harkens back to the days of MVC1, where MVC1 still used, in sort of a funky little way, ASPX pages. That's now gone. But that was the way that MVC1 was built, and so that's why you're still seeing that. You'll notice here that our views with MVC2 and beyond and the Razor syntax utilize language and then HTML. So it's going to use VB if you're using C#, and then it's going to use CS if you're using VB.
No.
I'm making sure you're paying attention over there. Excellent. So, of course, it's going to use CS for C# and VB for Visual Basic. And so CSHTML is going to be the view that's going to be using C#, and then VBHTML would be the view that is using VB. Mm-hmm. And if I go into our views folder, and you could see me from about 10 minutes ago there. That was sort of funny. In any event, I had my little chat window there. What you're going to notice right over here is here's our little folder. So there's our albums, there's our reviews, and then you'll notice inside of here is all of the CSHTML. So there is all of our views right there.
Yep.
Okay. So let me go back to my slides here. And cool. Now, again, going back to that cool little slide that John had up from before, about, hey, our controller's going to do stuff, and it's going to load the model, and it's going to pass that into the view. So the question then becomes, okay, well, how does the view know what data type the model is going to be? Well, every view, as it turns out, has a model property. And actually, you know what? Let me erase all ink, and I'm going to circle that just because I want to avoid the yellow there. Okay. So it has a model property, and that's going to represent that object. So once again, let's kind of draw it all out there. Controller, it's going to go off, do some stuff, and it's going to get a model, and that model is going to be combined with a view. The way that we access this model is by using that model property. That's how we do it. Now, one of the big things, of course, with .NET development, typically, is we want things to be strongly typed. So we can tell our view right up front, hey, this is the model data type. And you do that by setting up your model declaration. Now, you'll notice a couple of real quick things here. That number one, it uses that at sign, more on that in a minute. Number two is you're going to notice the yellow highlighting there. And that's actually the way that it displays inside of Visual Studio, so that's why I put it up there like that. But number three, notice the casing.
Yep.
Capital M.
Little sneaky.
Little M, exactly. Capital M is the property. That's the object. Little M, that's where you make the declaration. Now, there's a couple little advanced notes there that I also want to mention here, is that it is technically possible to not type a view to a specific object. And that can, in certain scenarios, be helpful. Because there are going to be times when you're trying to create maybe a basic front end to a database, and I'm trying to make this very dynamic, that all that we're going to be looking for is maybe basic edit screens, and I don't want to go in, even through scaffolding, to create that over and over and over and over again. So I basically just want one edit view to rule them all. Well, it is possible with a little bit of code magic, a little bit of reflection, or otherwise, to actually make that happen. So I could have one view be the edit screen for any model that I might want. It is an advanced concept, but I do want to highlight that fact, that it is technically possible to create views that are not typed specifically to a model. Well, how about writing code? You know, that in order to display something inside of a view, we need to read the property. So how do we actually write that code? Well, that's going to be done by utilizing Razor syntax. And Razor syntax is going to use the @ sign to indicate server-side code. Now, once again, to quote my compatriot here, John Galloway, it just works. There you go. And so one of the very cool things is that the runtime will automatically figure out what the @ means based on context. So if I did something like this, I put together a hyperlink for an email address. So I said mail to, and then somewhere at something.com. It'll look at that and go, oh, you really want an email address. Well, I'm just going to display it as an email address. So it will pick that up based on context. If for whatever reason it's not doing that, then you can use @ and then it will take care of it for you. Then you're specifically saying, hey, I want an @ sign here. But generally speaking, again, to quote John, it just works.
You know, this is a really key thing, and this is actually a quote I picked up from Scott Hanselman on a podcast long, long ago, and he was saying at the beginning he was going crazy trying to figure out Razor syntax and learn Razor syntax, and he realized it's just like, just don't worry about it, basically.
Yeah.
Because really, you type HTML wherever you want HTML. Wherever you want to insert code, you hit the @ sign, and you just type some C#.
Yep.
And that's it, really. Like, there's those very few cases where you hit @ for an @ sign or whatever.
Right.
For the most part, don't worry about it. Like, you'll just hit, you know, you'll type your HTML where you want C# code, you just hit @, and then you start typing.
Yep, that's exactly it.
You could hit @ system.datetime.now, and it'll insert the time.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it. It really is, yeah. Just, yeah, write code and it'll figure it out.
So you may, you know, you may want to dig in and find documentation, and there is some on the ASP.NET site, but for the most part, what we're showing you is what you need to know of Razor syntax.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so here's what I want to do, is I'm going to, and I just kind of commented out our route from before, but I'm going to right-click on the index here, and I'm going to say go to view, and you'll notice Control-M, Control-G for go to view, mm-hmm. One of my favorite little shortcuts. And there is the little view here. And John had highlighted this earlier, but here's what I want you to notice, is anytime that we've got an @ sign, that is, and I want to stress this part, server-side code. One of the things that came up a couple of times in the chat window was people asking about partial views and how to take one view and display it inside of another and so forth. And unfortunately, yeah. Again, it's one of those things that just didn't make the cut because we've got so much that we're trying to cover here. But I do want to kind of mention real quick here that if you go and you say HTML action, you can then go point to another action somewhere else. And a lot of times when I highlight that, people go, oh, wait a minute, is that now making another round trip? Is that actually running on the client? And the answer to that is 100% no. Anytime you have an @ sign, that's going to be server-side code. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that I want to mention here, and apparently that is just not going to highlight the way that I wanted it to, but that's okay. Right down here is our little for each table. So this is how we're generating that little table to display out, and you'll notice that little for each. So again, just @ for each, open curly brace, close curly brace. And like John was mentioning before, you know, Scott Hanselman said, just stop worrying about it. And it will automatically pick up the fact that you've got the open curly up top, and you've got the close curly down at the very bottom. It will automatically pick that up. And then you'll notice we write HTML, TR, TD. And then we've got a little bit of Razor syntax, which I'm going to get to in just a couple of minutes here because it's using an HTML helper. But you'll notice there's our display four, and there's our little links that are automatically being created for us. So just like that, you just write code, and it just works. It's wonderful. Okay, when it works. All right, let me go back to my slide here, you know? Let me go back to my slide. So I want to be right here. There you go. And you can see John answering questions there. Yep. So we are trying as best as we possibly can to get to as many questions
we
as
are,
possible.
Really.
Unfortunately, you guys have us pretty well outnumbered there.
And we have some great, have some friends helping us out. James Chambers, Dave Ward, a lot of people helping us out. I'm going to miss a few and I'm going to feel really bad about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
it's sort of like an Oscars thank you speech.
Exactly.
We're going to forget somebody.
But tons of people helping us out. Kevin Jones,
Jerry O'Brien.
Yep. So thanks a bunch to all of you answering all these questions in the back, along with what we're trying to keep up to. But
exactly.
We're gonna miss some. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We are.
It's unfortunate.
We're outnumbered.
Exactly. All right. Now let's review a little bit. Let's go back to module two. You guys do still remember module two. Module two was where we covered models. And in particular, we highlighted all the different attributes that we could decorate our models with. Now, the goal of decorating a model with attributes is to let the MVC runtime automatically generate HTML for us. So could I go in and say input type equals email, name equals email? Could I do that? Yes. And would it work? And the answer to that is 100% yes. So if you remember again when we were talking about model binding, the name just simply needs to match the name of the property. And it will just work. And how that HTML is generated is 100% irrelevant. So if you're using your own custom code, if you're typing it in manually, how it appears doesn't matter. That being said, you want to try and avoid hard coding things. That there's a sort of a long story that's frequently summed up as Einstein once said, don't memorize anything you can look up. There's a longer story there, but for right now that will work.
Yeah.
Don't memorize anything you can look up. My corollary to that is don't hard code anything that you can look up. So before you go in and start writing HTML, look it up. Let MVC write it for you. And that is where the HTML helper comes into play. That the HTML helper is going to use all the attributes to figure out what the display names are supposed to be, to figure out what the formatting is supposed to be, and figure out what the input elements are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice, for example, that we have an HTML display 4 that will automatically use those attributes. So if we had set up a display format maybe for currency, display 4 will automatically read that. Now, a couple of real quick things here. Number one is MVC does use reflection to make this work. Mm-hmm. Because it has to go look at the property and it has to figure out, okay, well, what attributes are on it. And a lot of times when I mention that, people get a little bit concerned. Reflection is not evil. This is not 2004, it's 2014. So a couple of things have happened. Number one, Moore's law has held true. But number two is we've invested an awful lot in improving the performance of reflection. So are you going to get potentially a little bit of a performance hit? Yeah, I suppose. But the amount of a performance hit that you're going to get is going to be relatively negligible. On top of that, and John, something tells me you're probably the exact same way, every single project that I've ever worked on, save for one, time to market was more important than performance. And then that's not to say that performance wasn't important, because it is and always is. But on every single project I ever worked on, save for one, it was time to market first, and then performance second. And I'm willing to bet that was probably the same for you.
You know, I agree. Performance is a feature, and it's a feature you're going to add in just like you get any other feature request in your application. Now, it's important to not do dumb things from the start. You know, you don't want to select star from your database and all that kind of stuff. But it's exactly right. Every and there's a concept of premature optimization, yep. which is focusing on that too early.
Uh-huh.
And so there are definitely ways where you can later go in and optimize. Usually I find out things like caching and, you know, like thinking at a higher level is way more important than worrying about like, oh, am I using reflection here?
Exactly.
One other thing to point out is that reflection is cached. There's some very intelligent mm-hmm. work going on in behind that. So places where there is reflection going on, it doesn't happen all the time, every page request. It just, you know,
right.
it's cached on the back end.
And then, you know, the last thing to keep in mind is a lot of times you can get that by just adding more hardware.
Yeah.
You know, that developers, generally speaking, are expensive. Hardware, generally speaking, comparatively, is not. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to get time to market, the performance level that you're looking for, generally speaking, you're going to be able to do that cheaper by kind of focusing in on those high-level concepts and throw more hardware at the problem.
You know, I want to point out one other thing, too. It's not just about saving time on developing and banging out code faster and time to market. I mean, those are very, very important. But another thing that's important with this is by using reflection, it's keeping up to date. So if I go
yes.
in and change yep. things over time, my code doesn't break. And my code is actually like if I'm adding in new properties or I'm changing,
yep.
changing things, then those are automatically going to be updated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's go back to my slide here because I want to highlight, both literally and figuratively, probably the one spot where we get the most confusion. And that's right here, this Lambda statement. Now, to cover Lambda statements and do it well would take quite a little while. I will mention back in the good old days when I blogged, and I really should start blogging again, but you can still find my blog at blog.geektrainer.com. Here, I'll just type that out real quick, blog.geektrainer.com. But on my blog, I actually wrote up a pretty lengthy article talking about Lambda statements and how all of those work. So if you're interested in exactly what it is that's going on here and how we got from where we were to where we are now, I put together a huge blog covering all of that. So you can go check that out. But here's kind of what's going on. In order for the helper method to work, what we need is we need the property. And the reason that we need the property is because we need the attributes that are on the property. So if I just simply said display form model.name, that's going to pass the value of name, not the property. We need the property. So by using this syntax, that's passing in the property. Now, I am going to confess one little thing here is Visual Studio does one little thing that I don't necessarily care for, and that is when it automatically generates the code, it uses model, which I think sort of adds to the confusion.
It's like, which model is it?
Exactly. And again, you'll notice that it's differing based on case, which is generally speaking not a good thing. So whenever I actually write my code on my own, I'm always using M instead of model. I think that reads a little bit better. You know, other people have their own little opinions. But for me, for my money, I think that that reads a bit better. Okay. So to display data, you'll notice display name for, and that will go grab the display name attribute, or if you're using the display attribute, the name property. And then display for, the biggest thing that it will use is that display format. So if I go back to Visual Studio here, and there we go. Perfect. Okay. So let's go in and take a real quick look here, and what you're going to notice is that there is our little display for. So if I had set anything up on title there, then what would wind up happening is it would read those attributes for me. Or if I go in and I look at the details here, let me just go in real quick, F12. I didn't want F12, I wanted good view. There we go. You'll notice right there that there is our little title and on the display name for and on the display for. Now, because it's there, and I know that somebody probably saw it and is probably wondering, okay, wait a minute, what in the world is going on there? All right. Tables are a little bit interesting because when you're trying to generate a table, what you're trying to do is loop through a collection of items. And if I go back up to the very top here, what you're going to notice is that our model declaration is an enumerable, or a list, of, in this case, albums. And so as we loop through each one, what we're looking to do is we're looking to display the current item's title, the maybe the current item's name, or whatever else it is that, it might be. Mm-hmm. The problem is that display four is looking for the enumerable list.
Yeah.
And this is the one spot where things get a little bit clunky. And so what you can do is really, this part right here doesn't matter. You could just call that M. You could call that Wibble. This is going to be the one exception to the rule where it is going to be the actual variable name. So when you're looping through an enumeration, that's going to be the one exception to the rule. Okay. Now, let's also, while I'm here, highlight real quickly Action Link. Because the cool part about Action Link is that this will automatically generate links for me. That if I bring my page back up here, trigger, let this do its thing. There we go. Still have disintegration. And I click on details. What I want you to notice is when I was doing that demo earlier, that I didn't actually update the links myself. Mm-hmm. So in the past, it was doing albums, details, and then one.
Yes.
Well, now it's just doing /album/1. How is that happening? Again, Einstein said, don't memorize anything you can look up. Don't hard code anything you can look up. So Action Link is automatically looking at the routes that I've created, mm-hmm. and generating the links based on those routes.
Right. And this is one of those things where, you know, I've talked to people and they're like, I don't need to use HTML helpers. I can write HTML myself, thank you. And it's like, sure you can, but you're thinking short term. Mm-hmm. This is it. You've demonstrated the exact reason. This is why you'd use a helper to generate something like this for you.
Exactly. And you know, this sort of leads perfectly right into the next little spot here of putting together forms. You know, that John just mentioned, he talks to a lot of people, why I can write the HTML on my own. So, you know, right along those same lines, you're going to notice that there is a begin form. And you just put that inside of a using statement. Well, why not just use a form element? Well, because the URLs can always change.
Yeah.
And if the URL changes, now all of a sudden you're back having to update the
everywhere,
HTML.
Right?
Yeah, and you're having to, you know, now we're suddenly kind of like back in web forms of we make a change and now we're having to run around to 10 different spots to go in and update that. So centralize. And so begin form is going to be looking for the name of the action, the name of the controller, and then get versus post. Now, as far as input goes, you're going to notice that we've got label and we've got input 4. Input 4 will automatically generate the input element, and that is going to be based on the data type, which we saw earlier. And then you'll also notice label 4, which creates a label element, and that's very useful for touch. Here, let me go in and demo this. Let me fire up Visual Studio here. There we go. And perfect. Okay. And I want... let me open up my album controller and create that one will work perfect. Control M, Control G. There we go. All right. So a couple of real quick things that I want to highlight. See, created a wonderful album. is there's our little begin form. And there is our label 4. And then there is the editor 4. I think I said input 4 on the slide, didn't I? I had a mistake on my slide.
Yeah,
it's editor 4. Yeah. That's all right. So there's our little editor 4, and then that's going to be looking for, in this case, the title. So let me fire up my browser here, and let's go ahead. There's our little title, and let's say out of time. And I'm going to hit create, but actually, you know what I'm going to do is this. Is I'm going to put my mouse over title here, and I'm going to click on title. And what I want you to notice is that I clicked on title, but it put the focus on the text box. And if I do this with touch, you'll notice once again, it's going to put the focus on the text box. And that is one of those little things that helps make your page that much more accessible across all types of devices and scenarios and otherwise. So let's go in out of time. There we go. And let's hit create. And I got to do this. I'm going to go to reviews. Create new.
So this is key. Some people have been asking, how do I do drop-downs and where's the drop-down control and that kind of thing, right? It just works, right? It just, and this is because...
This is relatively new, by the way.
It is new.
Yeah.
It's pretty new. So, and why does this work? This is the input control, right? It's drop-down list 4.
Yep.
And it just happened.
Exactly. Here, let me
drop-down 4.
Fire this up. Yeah. So let's sort of review. Do I still have my little class model... store diagram, did I save you? I did, woohoo. Okay, so if you remember, I'm very excited about this, that my album has multiple reviews. So what we need, if we're gonna set up a review, is we need to highlight which album it is that we're talking about. Now, if you remember, we set this up just by going in and adding that into our classes. So if I go back to my models and I open up album, you're gonna notice that we've got a list of reviews. Mm-hmm. And if I open up review, you're gonna notice that we've got an album. Now I am gonna real quick here, let's add on a display and let's say name equals album. Just to make the display look a little bit better there.
Right.
But that was the relationship. So I did this by doing really just kind of normal .NET code. There was nothing fancy there. What's making this little bit of magic actually happen inside of my view, let's go to Control M, Control G, go to, there we go. There is our little drop-down list. And so it's automatically looking at the album ID. And because of that code first, entity framework, because of the relationship that we created, it's automatically figuring out, hey, we've got album ID. Guess what album ID is going to hold the ID to? The album.
Right.
So it will automatically give us a drop-down list of all albums, which is so stinking cool. And I want to say this is 5. I don't think this was there in 4. That automatic drop-down.
You know, it's a blur. They crank them out so fast. I thought it was 4, but I'm not sure. Honestly.
Either way, I will say I remember working in the past on drop-down lists and having to do all of this on my own. So to have that capability now just baked right in is fantastic. So just boom, right there, I've got the little drop-down list. And by the way, let me just go back and do a real quick build. There we go. And let's come back over here and just do a refresh. And that should now say album. Show me album. Oh, you know what? I think that one is hard-coded in. I think that's my problem. In any event, that's sort of neither here nor there. Again, I want you to notice that, cool, there is our neat little drop-down list. Love that. Love that. And again, it really all goes back to use those HTML helpers. Let the runtime do the heavy lifting for you. Okay. Let me go get some slides here. All right. And let's talk a little bit about validation. So again, we need to make sure that users have typed in good data. And so validation is going to be handled in really kind of 2 ways. Number 1 is validation message 4, and that's going to display the message next to the text box. And then we also have validation summary, which is going to put potentially our error messages in one location. All right. Let me go back over here to Visual Studio real quick. Little demo. Wait for my slide to go away. There we go.
Someone, while you're doing that, somebody said in the chat that dropdowns were in MVC 3. But it's they're cranking them out so fast.
Yeah,
I'm not sure,
that's it.
But it's not hard to believe.
You know, one of those little things that I always find is I learn more about older versions of a technology when the new one comes out.
Yeah.
Because you see them, you go, how long has that been there? And you find out, oh, it's been there for 4 years.
Right, exactly.
Where was I? Okay, in any event, where was I?
I don't know, validation. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, that's perfectly cool. So now we know, and knowing is half the battle. Okay, so here's just what I want to highlight real quickly. That validation summary, in particular, the validation summary is typically used for server-side errors. So if you try to save to a database and that failed, that's typically where validation summary comes into play. The validation message for is for that specific spot. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's escape out of that, and I've got that. All right, let me go back to my slides here. Now, organization and consistency will set you free. And that's especially true when we're setting up a web page. Because when we're setting up a web page, what we're doing is we're creating an application, and we're not going to give the user an instruction manual, which is sort of a funny thing to try and do there. And so as a result, we do need to make sure that we keep things consistent. So that way it's going to be a little bit easier to find. So let's take, for example, kind of a standard layout here. And I just did this with PowerPoint, since I will openly admit I'm not necessarily a design guy. Actually, give me 1 second. Let me get back to just take me real quick. There we go. I just need to do one real quick thing. There we go. I think that's spelled right. There we go. Perfect. Sorry. If anybody who's currently watching has seen High Fidelity, this entire setup is all just High Fidelity references. So I just wanted to add on the championship vinyl up to the very top just to kind of close off the entire thing. So we're just making this 100% High Fidelity. And one of my favorite little lines in the movie, do you have soul? That all depends. In any event, so here's what we're looking for is links on the outside, navigation on the outside, and then there in the ooey-gooey center is the actual content of what it is that we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. And the way that that's handled is by utilizing a layout. Now, let me do this. I'll do the demo at the end. A layout is all about ensuring a consistent page. And what I love about layouts is the fact that, again, they just work. So you could actually create an entire site without layouts. Mm-hmm. At the very end, decide, hey, wait a minute, we should probably get a layout, add it in, and it just works.
All across the site.
Exactly.
All your views.
Yeah, that when I used to teach the full 5-day course on MVC, layouts were generally not until like day 3. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm obviously going to do a couple of demos before I get to layout.
Right.
And so I would actually create an empty project, and I would create all these views without a layout. And then I would add the layout in when we got to that module. And again, it just worked. And the reason that it just works is this little render body. Because render body will render anything inside of a view that's not inside of a section. We'll get to sections in a minute. So render body just looks at the view and just says, okay, well, I'm going to take all that content and just, boom, plop that right there. Render section then gives me the ability to add in specific sections for things like banner, sidebars, and then in particular, scripts. Now, on the layout, it's render section. And inside of the view, you're going to use @section and then specify the name, and that's going to match. And by the way, this little required is a Boolean, true, false, on whether or not it's required. Let's go in and take a look at how our layouts work. There we go. And let's bring back up Visual Studio. And I want 2 things. Number one is this little thing inside of the root of my views folder called view start. Mm-hmm. That is convention. And that will automatically be executed every time that we go to display a view. And you'll notice inside of here, what are we doing? We're saying, hey, the layout that we want to use is going to be, in our case, inside of views shared _layout. Now, you could call it whatever it is that you want. It doesn't matter. But in this case, it's going to be _layout. Now, what I'm going to do for right now is I'm just going to delete that. Okay? So let's go in and do a build, and let me come back over here, and I'm gonna do a refresh, and what do you notice? All of that cool little stuff was gone.
Yep.
And the reason for that is because all of that layout and everything else was being set up by Bootstrap, and it was all being set up by that layout. Mm-hmm. That layout called Bootstrap and brought in the CSS and everything else. So again, this is what I was saying, is adding this on later is very easy. Number two is, let me now open up that little view here. And inside of share, there we go, and my layout. Brilliant. So now, this is our little layout. And so you'll notice right up at the very top, there's our head tag. And I'm just gonna circle that real quick. What that's automatically doing is that's handling bundling, mm-hmm. Which is sort of an advanced concept of just sending things down without requiring multiple connections. And we'll just sort of leave it at that.
Chunking all those scripts and all that into one download, and that's all we'll talk about.
Exactly, yeah.
It's magic.
Exactly, it's magic. Yeah, see, it's magic. All right, now let me kind of scroll down a little bit here, and what you're going to notice is that there is our body. So there's the body, and then there's everything that's making up the banner. And then right down here, this is what's going to be making up the content, and you'll notice that call right there to render body. That's what's saying, hey, go grab everything from the view and just put that right there. And then finally, if I keep scrolling on down, you'll also notice that there is our little render section. And then in this case, it's got a little name of scripts, and then required on that is set to false. And there is our little layouts, and that's what's going to get you the little master page there. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, just to kind of close all that off, a couple of real quick things. Number one, and most importantly, use the HTML helper. Use the power and capabilities that are provided to you. In the long run, they are going to make your life that much easier. Number two, sort of as we highlighted before, the Razor syntax, 9 times out of 10, 99 out of 100 times, it just works. That's it. All right. Any cool little questions that we wanted to answer? Are we good?
Well, we are good. We've gotten several questions about view models. I kind of hacked together just the very quickest thing on that. And it goes with views, but it also goes with models and stuff.
Lead the way.
Okay, so if we can go to my desktop. My code doesn't even work yet. I just threw something together as he was typing. What I wanted to do, though, was, you know, our models have been working with Entity Framework and bound to the database. And in this case, just to make it obvious that a view model is just a class, I created a view model class.
Right.
And it just has a string with an album title and a list of string with review content.
Sure.
So if I had multiple reviews, pull all this together.
Yep.
Right? And then I created a controller action, and I said, look up the album, and then, you know, here's my album, here's my list of reviews, and I'm returning that list of reviews, and then I was going to return view and create a view. So I didn't finish this, but the general idea is your view model is whatever you want it to be. Again, a model is just a class.
Yep.
And the whole point is, if it's difficult to, if your models don't cleanly map to a view.
Right, and quite frequently they won't.
Right, then don't stress, don't try and make your view adapt, don't do a bunch of jumping through hoops with your controller, definitely don't create a bunch of new models. Instead, just create a view model that has the data you want to pass to your view.
Yep, and you know, real quick, if you are looking for more information, and we haven't yet crashed Rachel's blog, so I think now's a perfect time to go ahead and crash Rachel's blog, there is Rachel Appel, who I think she's now an MVP again. She was a DP for Microsoft for a while.
We keep kicking her out, she keeps coming back.
Yeah, but in any event, she's got a fantastic blog, and she's got a great little blog on view models, and kind of talking about the whole concepts and how all of that's going to work and how to go in and create it and so forth and so on. So if you are looking for more information, there's a great way to go ahead and start that up.
Great.
So
I just wanted to throw that in while we were talking.
No, absolutely. Yeah, because it's sort of very natural. It's views. It fits.
Yep.
Let's take 10.
Okay.
Let's
Sounds
do that.
Great.
All right, so we're going to take 10 minutes here, refresh. I'm going to get a whole lot of water because I've been doing a lot of talking. And then I'm not going to talk for a little while.
Let's
I'm going to put John in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Excellent. So we'll see you guys back here in 10 minutes.
Great.